things. God, you know where everybody is and you know what's going on in their hearts and lives. So we just ask you, God, to take care of those things. And Lord, these that's been mentioned that are sick, Lord, we certainly do ask you to help them and protect them. Even my little boy Reese, God, he needs your help dealing with this, whatever this is that's going around, cough and all this stuff. And Lord, we ask you, God, to help him. Lord, to get well, each and every one of them. And Lord, we just give you the praise and honor and glory for that. And then, like it's already been said, Lord, we know that you are the one who takes care of that. We read in your Bible just a couple of nights ago, Lord, how you heal all of our diseases. And Lord, we thank you for that. And we also pray, God, for Miss Dawn, who's traveling a little bit now, and maybe a few others that's traveling this week. And Lord, we ask you to help them watch over. We know they'd be here, Lord, if they weren't. And Lord, no better place, I feel like, than to be in your house. And Lord, we just pray, God, that you'd watch over these that's had to miss tonight. Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. Lord, we had some visitors this morning, God, that was really affected by the sermon and by the truth. And Lord, we pray you'd just keep drawing the folks in, and Lord, continue to affect folks, and Lord, do a work in their life. We know that you can make all the improvements that are necessary in a life. Lord, we can't do much as people. We can't change other people's heart. But Lord, we certainly know that you can. We know that your word can. So Lord, you help us to be faithful. Forgive us where we come short. Make up where we lack. And Lord, we know for sure that your work and your ministry, God, will do what you left it here to do. And we'll just continue to thank you for it. And we do thank you for it and praise you for everything that you do. Bless the preaching of your word now. Lord, bless the hearing of it. Lord, take the things that need to be said, the simple message that we got tonight. And Lord, just put it down in the cradle of our hearts. Let it rest there. And Lord, change our lives with it. And we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Now tonight, Romans chapter 14. And let's start reading in verse 1. And I want to preach to you out of verse number 7. And let's go ahead and read. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputation. Now, somebody weak and don't really know a lot about the gospel or a lot about the Bible or a lot about the faith. When the Bible talks about the faith, it's talking about the total of all of our doctrines, all of our beliefs. That's called the faith. And of course, that I think most people understand that. But the Bible says in the book of Jude, it says that you're to earnestly contend for the faith. Earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. So the faith. But so the Bible says if somebody's weak in the faith, he said it's good for you to receive them, but not just to doubtful disputations. If somebody just, if all that somebody wants to do is just argue about why you're wrong, and you know, I talked to you a little bit about that. I'm more than willing to argue with you about it, but that's not the purpose of our fellowship. It's not the purpose. It's not why we're here to figure out. We're not here to figure out what truth is. We're here to preach the truth. Amen. And so he says here, receive somebody that's weak in the faith. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things. Another who is weak eateth herbs. So you see what he's talking about here. Somebody comes in and says, well, I don't believe we ought to eat these lobsters here. That, you know, in the Old Testament, they weren't supposed to eat anything unless it had, you know, a specific quality about it. If a land animal, it had to chew the cud. It had to have a split hoof. I mean, it was all sorts of things like that God said we had to watch. And you know, if it was a fish, the Bible said it had to have scales and fins. No catfish. You couldn't eat catfish in the Old Testament. Them poor fellers. Amen. Catfish is good, I think. But see, we live in the New Testament now. We don't have those restrictions. But in the Old Testament, they did. So at the beginning of the gospel, when the gospel was first being preached, Paul says, well, hey, you're going to run into some people, and they're not going to have faith enough to realize the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. They're not going to have that understanding. So he says, you can have somebody come in that disagrees with you. He said, but don't let it cause cause divisions. Don't let it turn into something that's going to hurt your faith rather than build the faith. So he says, not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. You know, when the Lord in the book of Acts, he let down that sheet that was full of all kinds of unclean animals, and he says to Peter, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Well, Peter was weak in the faith then. He said, "Not so, Lord." He said, "I hadn't touched anything unclean in all of my days. And ever since I've been a boy," he said, "I never did eat any of that unclean stuff." And the Lord says, "Well, what I've cleansed," he said, "you're not to call that common or unclean." So when you pray and you ask God to bless you, catfish and your bacon, amen, God cleanses it up. There's nothing unclean about it if you've asked God to cleanse it and watch over it. So the Bible says you can eat anything you want to as long as you give thanks for it. And I'm glad for all that. That's not what I'm really trying to preach on tonight, but got to thinking about that bacon, got kind of sidetracked a little bit right there, amen. So one believeth that he can eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Now he says about this, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Now that's a hard commandment to get. You know, somebody, and you may not know it, but there's like one of my favorite preachers, Lester Roloff. He didn't believe you ought to eat anything. He believes you ought to go by the Old Testament dietary rules. And he's a pretty smart man, and he was an educated man. I know he went to Bible school and all that stuff. And I know they taught him the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. But one thing about it was he was very sickly young man when he was a boy, very sick, couldn't work. All of his brothers and stuff would be out in the field and working, and they'd make him stay at the house because he was so frail and so skinny. Kind of remind me of myself, but my mom and daddy wasn't that nice. They made me work. Didn't matter if I was skinny and frail, amen. But he was real sick, and what they figured out in his life is they switched his diet to the diet of the Old Testament, and his health improved, and he gained strength. And so he thought what was good for the goose is good for the gander, so he just preached to everybody. I mean, you shouldn't eat it. He'd go into preachers' meetings and fellowships and dinner on the ground and stuff. If he was eating a hamburger, he'd tell you about it. That stuff's going to kill you. And something's going to kill you anyway. But the Lord said you didn't have to worry about that. Well, that's what he says here. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. I ain't got nothing against Lester Roloff because he don't want. I mean, if he don't want to eat hamburgers and bacon and all that stuff, more for me. Amen? And the environmentalists will be happy with him for not killing all them animals and stuff like that. But as for me, I don't mind it, and I don't mind that he don't want to eat it. But he also says, let not him which eateth, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. So, for God hath received him. God's received us both. Amen. If you don't feel like you can eat animals, if you feel like you've got to be one of them vegetarians or whatever they call them, well, you go right ahead and do that. Amen. If that's all the faith that you got, the Lord says that's all right. God will receive you that way. Right. And so he says, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? You know, the conscience means a lot. I can sit here and tell you the truth about a thing. Hey, it's okay for you to eat anything. And that's a biblical truth. But if your conscience is not clear with God about that, then you need to do what makes your conscience clear with God. Amen? Right. And I've stood up here before and I told you, well, you don't have to shoot your television set and get rid of it, but there's a lot of bad stuff on there. Amen. And some people may disagree with me. I mean, I have the most respect and the most admiration for my old preacher. And my old preacher, though, he wouldn't let you have any position in the church. He wouldn't let you drive a bus. He wouldn't let you be a deacon. He wouldn't let you be nothing if you had a TV in your house. That just disqualified you for everything. And some people believe that way, and that's all right. If that's the way your conscience works, and that's perfectly fine, amen? And so when you're dealing with convictions, there is right and wrong, and there are some ways you can define right and wrong in the Bible. I mean, it's a moral thing rather than a rules and regulations thing. It's a relationship with God thing rather than a rules and regulation thing. Right. The maker of all rules lives in our heart. He's able to deal with us. Well, the Bible says some men have a lot of faith and some men have a little faith, and there's a measure there that's involved. And some people, they would say, "Hey, I just don't feel comfortable doing that. I don't feel comfortable." I mean, God told them people in the Old Testament that there was something wrong with it. There must be something wrong with it. So they wouldn't eat. And that's perfectly understandable. And so he says, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? So you've got to realize God's... See, sometimes somebody's going to come in, they're going to preach their convictions to you. And you know, Brother Mark came in and preached a couple of weeks and he really bore down on some things. You know, he was even talking about cartoons and blasting cartoons. Some of that stuff need to be blasted, amen. But he talks about Facebook and stuff like that. See, some people get mad. But that's his convictions, and that's the way that God's dealt with him about some things. And I agree a lot with what he says about a lot of that stuff. But see, people get mad because he's brought that out, and really that should help people.
Right.
Amen. Really, that should help other people see the dangers, because there are real dangers in it. Amen. I mean, if nothing else, and you know my heart, you know the preachers say, well, people get on Facebook and meet old boyfriends and meet old girlfriends and they run off together and stuff like that, and so you ought to get rid of it. Well, I say people met old boyfriends and girlfriends at church. Matter of fact, some people in churches met new boyfriends and girlfriends and families that have been broke up, but we don't throw away the church. And I've just got the personal belief that's what's in your heart.
Amen.
Amen. That's what I believe about that. And I believe if you got a bad heart and a wandering eye, you better stay away from the internet altogether.
Right.
And television, everything else.
Yeah.
Amen. If you ain't got one, your heart set on the Lord, I will say this, there's a lot of temptation out there.
Yeah.
If you got a right heart, you're in danger.
Yeah.
When you're looking at some of that stuff. Amen.
Yeah.
And you better recognize it and respond to it quickly.
Right.
Amen. It's your conscience.
Right.
It's your conscience about that thing. If your conscience bothers you about it, you better quit it till you got faith enough to do it. The Bible says in the New Testament, we don't live by the law. Of course, the writer of the law lives in our heart. But the fact of the matter is, the Bible says in the New Testament, the just shall live by faith. So, Brother Mike, I read my Bible and I pray and I try to live for the Lord. I come to church and I pay my tithe. I just don't see anything wrong with Facebook. Well, praise God. I hope you enjoy it. Amen. But I would say this, if you're not reading your Bible and if you're not praying and you're not trying to live for the Lord, and then of course some things ain't going to bother you. I would just ask that if somebody comes in and preaches a message like a revival preacher or something, or if I preach a message and you don't agree with it, I would just ask you this thing. Would you please start praying about it, read your Bible about it, and don't just say, well, I'm going to keep doing it because I like it. That might be a dangerous road that you're on.
Yeah.
I mean, little 5-year-old kid, he don't have no experience with dynamite. He's going to have to take his daddy's word. That's going to blow his arm off if he keeps messing with it.
Right.
So either he'll be wise enough to check it out and see if that's the truth, or he'll be foolish enough to go his own way and he'll get hurt.
Right.
I think everybody understands that analogy.
Yeah.
So he says, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Now, you say the dividing line is conscience, and that's exactly right. Now, some things, I hope you're smart enough to understand won't fall into a category like that. You say, well, let's talk about, infidelity, adultery. Now, do you think that's not a matter of conscience, see?
Right.
I hope, my conscience just doesn't bother me about lying. Well, there's something wrong there, then, amen. There's some things that cut and dry that, you know, when you're talking about your diet or when you're talking about, you know, what you see and what you don't see on a daily basis, I mean, some of those things have to deal with your conscience. But when you're talking about established morality that's covered in the law of God, you have to quit your lying, amen. Let him that stole steal no more, amen. There's some things that are clear cut. Some things are matters of the heart, issues of the heart.
Amen.
I mean, there's a lot of things. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And so there's a lot of things out there in the world that's just based on the love of money. And we could go into all that. I'm not really trying to preach on that tonight, though. I just got kind of sidetracked, but hey, take all the Bible you can get. Amen?
Amen.
So he says, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. There are some people who still love the Sabbath day, which is not Sunday. Unless you've got Andy Griffith religion, you know this: the Sabbath is not Sunday. The Sabbath is the seventh day. That's Saturday. Sunday's the first day of the week. So now you got some people, and they can only worship on Sunday. Some people, because you know of our tradition, and it's a biblical tradition to meet on the first day of the week. And then some people stuck in the Sabbath. I think we ought to honor the Sabbath. Well, the Bible says some men honor one day, and some people think every day is the same. I think you can worship God every day. You can make every day a holy day if you wanted to. Well, the Bible says, one man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man, and this is a great verse right here, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. And that's what I tell people when they come and ask me about a thing. They'll say, what about this or what about that? Is this right or is this wrong? Let every man be fully persuaded in his own heart. You make sure it's right. You make sure it's right. You deal with God. You learn how to talk with God. You learn how to fellowship with God. You learn how to get in touch with God and find out about these things. I can tell you what I believe, and I can tell you what the Bible says, but the thing that's going to make it real in your life is what you think about it. Yeah. I've had people, you know, like I was telling you this morning, I talked to somebody about their drinking. They say, I know, preacher. Well, they say they know, but they're not really convinced. I don't believe any decision has ever been made until an action takes place. Well, I think I'll go to the store. Well, think on, but you ain't going to get there till you get in your car and turn the key and hit the gas pedal and get on down the road. You can think and talk about everything in the world you want to, but if you decide, hey, this is bad for me. Hey, when I decided tobacco was bad for me, I quit. Amen. Of course, the help of the Lord is all that stuff. I understand that. And when I decided cussing was bad for me, I quit it. I knew it was wrong. There had to be a full persuasion there. A full persuasion. A lot of people think cigarettes is bad, but they're still smoking them because they're not fully persuaded. They may know it's bad, but they're not fully persuaded yet. Well, he says, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. That's a great verse, and you get that full persuasion from your Bible. That also brings up the subject of toleration. If you're a Christian, you're going to have to tolerate other people's discrepancies. Yeah. Everybody doesn't have the same training that you do. Yeah. Everybody don't have the same understanding that you do. I was talking to you a little bit this morning in Sunday school about the Catholics. And I don't have any hard feelings against not one Catholic. I can talk to them and deal with them. If somebody believes in speaking in tongues, I can talk with them and have a conversation with them. And I never think, well, this person's an idiot, but I'll talk to them. I don't think stuff like that. Now, I do have problems with Catholic priests and popes. I think the leadership of these churches that teach false doctrines, I think they're going to be held accountable for it. But even those, I talk with them, and I won't say anything right here in the pulpit that I won't say to them face to face. I had the fellow come down here, I guess it was last year, from the First Baptist, and asked me did I want to get involved with their youth rock concert that they was putting on. And I just had to be honest with him. I don't believe in Christian rock. I believe that's of the devil. And I thought he was going to pass out. I was hoping he'd wait till he got off the property to pass out. He was too big for me to pick up and carry around. But you know, you just got to be honest with folks. If you're going to have standards, you got to be honest with folks.
Right.
That's just all there is to it. I mean, some things you got to... You say, what is it? You've got to give people enough time to be fully persuaded in their own mind. There's a period of discipleship that goes along with that. Now, by the time you're in a full-time ministry, like a Guy Penrod or some preacher, you know, by the time you get qualified to preach, I expect you to have realized about the proper attire of, you know, you shouldn't look like Willie Nelson. Amen. By the time you get called to preach. Amen. I mean, there's two different looks involved there. I hope you understand that. Amen. You don't want to look like you're a pothead just crawled out of a hippie van. Amen. There's a difference. Amen. Don't look to me like you've been fully recovered from the world yet. I don't think the Bible inspired. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. The best Christianity you'll ever have is when you're fully persuaded in your own mind.
Right.
Amen. Yeah. If you get fully persuaded about that, about whatever it is you believe, then you'll be doing a great job. And then when you realize another to get, if God's done something in your life, I keep trying to say this and I get sidetracked, but let me just say it plain out. If God has done something in your life and you want that same thing that God's done for you to be done for somebody else, then you're going to have to be patient and you're going to have some toleration enough to spend the time that it's going to take to work that same thing out in their life. So, well, I wish old so-and-so knew something about the Bible. You're going to have to take time to teach them. I wish old so-and-so would realize that the life he's living is not a good Christian life. Well, take the time. Yeah. If you're not going to invest the time, you're not going to get the results.
That's right.
Sometimes I wish you could just make your children be wise and smart overnight.
Yeah.
But you can't. It's going to have to take some time.